Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit from God. Amen.
Today is the fourth Sunday, the blessed month of Siyar, and the Gospel today is speaking to us about the nativity of St. John the Baptist and the song of praise of Zacharias. And it was also, as you know, the last Sunday before the Feast of the Nativity, which we celebrate together this Friday evening. And something else unusual this year, that today is also the New Year's as we celebrate in the secular world, in the secular calendar. And if you allow me, I would like to contemplate with you this morning the relationship between the New Year and the Feast of the Nativity, what we celebrate in the incarnation of our Lord, God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we celebrate New Year's, or when we recognize a new year, we think about time, we think about the concept of time. And usually we think in terms of the past, the good and the bad that happened in the past, and we also look forward towards the future, and we contemplate and we think about our hopes, our plans, our desires. And so New Year's is a time to reflect on time, on the concept of time in man's life, in our own lives. And the concept of time has two aspects. There is, of course, the physical aspect of time, which is the science of time, and then there is how time relates to each of us personally, how time affects our lives as human beings. The first aspect of time, of course, was part of the creation, when God created the cosmos and He created the universe. And He created all of the sun and the moon and the earth and all the stars. And He placed into the cosmos, into the universe, the law of the universe. And according to these laws, we recognize time as science has developed and understood, so that, for example, when the earth rotates around its axis, we calculate one day. Or when the earth rotates around the sun, we consider it to be one year. So we recognize time in terms of days, weeks, months, years. We speak of decades, we speak of centuries, and we speak of millennia. So this is how we measure time. It is a cycle that repeats itself. And we call this the cyclical time. But time, as it is experienced in our own life, became especially important after the fall of Adam and Eve. Because after the fall of Adam and Eve, what entered into our human nature? The issue, the problem of death. And so, for human beings, time becomes a measurement by which we approach death. In other words, we experience time as human beings as birth, we experience time as growth, we experience time as aging, and then ultimately we experience time as death. And we call this the linear concept of time. That is, man is moving in a linear fashion towards something, and that something is death. So, in some way then, we can say that from the moment of our birth, we are moving towards death. Or another way of saying it is, from the moment we are born, we begin to die. From the moment we are born, we begin to die. So, the question then, is time then our friend, or is time our enemy? It's a conflict. How do we understand time? Should we celebrate time, or do we agonize and despair over time? And you'll see that the child sees it differently than the elder or the sick person. For the child, death is vague, it's distant, it's almost unreal, it's almost escapable. But for the elder, or for the infirm, for the sick, death becomes real, death becomes near, death becomes approaching, and the reality that death is inescapable becomes clear to us. So this is the conflict of time in our lives. So how can we relate this to the Feast of the Nativity, to what we celebrate this coming Friday evening? The great mystery of the Incarnation is that God, who is eternal, God the Word who is eternal has done something amazing. He has entered into what? Our time. He has entered into the limitations of time. And so Christ becomes like one of us, and he experiences the same things we experience. He experiences time as a real birth. He experiences a real growth as a child and as a young man. He experiences an aging. And he experiences a real suffering and pain. And he ultimately experiences what we all experience, which is the time of death. And so, God, who is above time, who is eternal, who is always in the eternal, has entered into time in order to make himself part of our own experience, in order to bring himself to our level and our experience. But why? Why does God enter into time for us? And the answer is that he enters into time not just to be born and to grow and to age and to die, but he enters into time so that after his death, in his resurrection, he might take time and draw it into the realm of eternity. So Christ, the eternal, enters into time in order to transform time into the eternal. Through what? Through his resurrection. So Christ then becomes, after his incarnation, the bridge. He becomes our bridge from the world of time to the world of the eternal life. So we cannot separate the Feast of the Nativity from the Feast of the Resurrection and the Feast from his death and from his resurrection. So again, we go back to the question, is time then our friend or is time our enemy? For the Christian, time is no longer something to be feared, no longer something to be afraid of, no longer something to be avoided. But now time is redeemed. Time is sanctified. The word sanctified means to be made holy. The word redeemed means to take something that is without value and to raise it to something that is of value. So, for the Christian, time now becomes sanctified. Time becomes redeemable. And we experience this, again, by uniting ourselves to the one who is eternal and who has entered into time to draw that time into the eternal. And that is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Sunday, the day of Sunday, is the day in which we celebrate, we call it what, the Lord's Day. And the fathers of the church from the very beginning centuries of the life of the church, they called Sunday the eighth day. Sunday is, according to the first creation, is the first day of the week. But the fathers of the church said Sunday is now the eighth day. Why is it the eighth day? Well, there are 7 days in the cycle of the week. The 7 days that make up time. The eighth day is the day that is outside of time. So when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, when we celebrate the Eucharist, in which his death and resurrection become real to us, in his body and his blood, we then enter into the eighth day. We enter into the eternal life. And so the Sabbath, which was a sign of the covenant of the creation, the first covenant of the creation when God created the world, the Sabbath then became a sign of that covenant between God and man, the covenant of creation. Now Sunday becomes the sign of the covenant of the new covenant, right? We call the New Testament the New Covenant, which is the covenant of our Lord's death and resurrection. So Sunday then becomes the day of the new covenant because it is now the first day of the new creation, because in his death and his resurrection, Christ has now recreated our humanity and brought us into the eternity. And so Sunday, the eighth day, is the first day of the new creation. And it's interesting that in the tradition of the church, the baptistry, you know, the baptistry in which the infants are baptized is made of 8 sides, like an octagon. And this eight sides in the early church was to remind the people that the baptized was being born into the eighth day, that our baptism is a baptism into the death and the resurrection of Christ, which brings us into the eternal life. So St. Paul then says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is what, of course, we should be contemplating on in the Feast of the Nativity, that Christ has become man in order to do this for us, that he has imposed upon himself the limitations of our humanity, of our time and our existence, in order to draw us into his life, his eternal life. So then how do we sanctify or redeem time? St. Paul says in his epistle to the Ephesians, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So the church then has organized her life, the church has organized her activities in order to redeem the time, in order to sanctify the time. So the calendar in the world of which we celebrate today, the new year, the only good thing about the calendar is it helps us to track time, to measure time. But what the church calendar does is it redeems time, it sanctifies time. So the purpose of the church calendar is very different from the secular calendar. Because through the church calendar, we begin to experience the redemption of time, the sanctification of time. So all of the feasts, all of the fasts, all of the liturgical cycles of the church, then are organized so that time, the cyclical time that we spoke of, the year, the month, the week, the day, can be sanctified. For example, we have the annual feasts of the Lord, of which we celebrate this week, the Feast of the Nativity. The annual feast. The feast of the Lord sanctifies the year. We also have the annual feast of the Mother of God, the angels and the saints. These feasts of the year sanctify the year. We have the month, which is sanctified with the monthly commemoration of the Lord's feast, his incarnation, nativity, annunciation, nativity, and his resurrection, which is on the 29th of every Coptic month. We also celebrate on the 21st of every Coptic month the Mother of God and her commemoration. And we have every month in the Coptic calendar has a special theme. So now we are in the month of Kiak, and Kiak has a special theme for preparation for the Feast of the Nativity. And so the months are sanctified according to the readings and according to the feasts and according to the celebrations of the church. The week, of course, is sanctified by the Lord's Day. But the week is also sanctified when we fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. The day becomes sanctified when we pray the hours of the Igveja and when we read the Synaxarium and the readings of the church. And of course, every hour and every minute of our lives can be sanctified and redeemed when we pray and when we lift up our hearts to God. So every moment can be a time of sanctification, a time of redemption, when we lift up our hearts to our Lord. So this is how the church, through her calendar, redeems time. But also the church, through the sacrament, redeems our lives, as we said, that linear aspect of time. So we are born, we grow, we age, and we die. And the church has also given us the sacraments, the Lord has given us through the church the sacraments, to redeem those parts of our time in our lives, so that when we are born into the church, into the new life in Christ through baptism and chrismation. And as we grow as Christians, we are fed the true manna, which is the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are renewing our baptism through the sacrament of confession, repentance. And as we age and as we experience sickness and our health experiences suffering, we receive the Holy Unction, which is the healing of our Lord both in spirit and in body. And ultimately, when we die, the church prays over our body and offers prayers in the church through the raising of incense and certain prayers to pray on that body and ask that the Lord have mercy on the soul of that person and raise that person up on the last day. So the church then has given us a means by which we can, in reality, celebrate the true nature of our Lord's nativity, which is that he has come into our time to bring us into his eternity. So we should celebrate the new year by focusing on this great mystery of Christ and the reality of the church's life and her sacraments and feasts, and especially the Lord's Day, in which we celebrate the eighth day, the experience of the eternal life when we participate in the Eucharistic life of the church. And we ask Christ to bless and sanctify this year and all the years of our lives, and keep us in His grace, and glory be to Him forever and ever. Amen.